Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show. Host Green Diva Meg and co-host Green Diva Mizar share resources and ideas as they explore fun and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green. And now, your host, Green Diva Meg.
We're having fun already.
Well, we've been off for, we had a little hiatus. So now it's the first time we've seen each other, all three of us together.
Welcome.
A couple weeks.
I know.
Welcome to the Green Divas Radio Show.
Yay!
Green Divas Studio, all full of fun.
Yeah.
And tryptophan.
Well,
honey.
I'm over.
And
can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Are you going to introduce yourself to folks?
Nah. Let them guess.
I keep waiting for it.
I know. I'm sorry. I know. I screw everybody up when I do stuff like
that.
Well,
you know what? I'll step on your toes and just say, Megan, who are you?
Hi, my name's Meg.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not. I'm sorry.
I forgot. Hi, I'm Green Diva Meg.
Oh, hi, everyone. I'm Green Diva Meg.
Hi, Mamma Mia. And I'm Green Diva Mizar.
And I'm Green Diva Gina. Hey, everybody.
We're just messing with you, man.
I know. It's just crazy.
My name? Yeah, we're just messing with you.
Oh, my word. So Thanksgiving is over. I had a nice Thanksgiving. How about the rest of you ladies?
I'm still recovering, but it was awesome. We had a big house full of people.
Really?
And we had, have you ever had those neighbors that you just love, that, you know, when your kids were little and everybody got together? And I think we talked about this before.
We did, because you said you accidentally invited them.
Right.
But there's no accident.
And they moved. She's from Tasmania, but they had been living in Australia. They moved back there after we lived all in the cul-de-sac as a little group. Anyway, so they're back. And they came over, and it was so fun. Like, I'm telling you, these kids were little. Little Emmy is now like 6'4".
Holy moly.
Unbelievably. They're all beautiful and handsome.
A female?
No,
Emmy?
Emerson is a boy.
Oh, okay, good. But, I'm glad you clarified that.
He was a little guy. But when he's a little guy, he was Emmy. You know, he's just Emmy.
Oh, yeah.
He was like a little 2-foot-tall little guy.
Aww,
you know.
Right.
Now it's like, Emmy? I'm looking up. You, nobody can see that, but I'm looking up because he was very tall. And And Alana, who's absolutely stunning, and Clinton, who's like a young man. And they're all so handsome and beautiful and fun.
And then your daughters were here and the grandbabies?
And the grandbabies. And we all just kind of fell back into that comfortable place we all used to be.
How nice.
That's,
you know?
So nice.
And it was like we never skipped a beat, even though there was a continent or two between us.
And some time. But that's good.
That's when you know it's a true friendship, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
So it was
very nice. It's always nice to, like, reconnect with people like you haven't seen in 6 months, in a year, even 3 years. I have a girlfriend coming up that I went to high school with, and she's going to be here Christmas week.
Oh, good.
Her name is Janet. I used to call her JB. We spent summers on Martha's Vineyard together.
Aww.
So JB for Janet Baby.
Oh.
So I haven't
seen
her.
Is that her last name, Baby?
No. It's Winkleman.
Oh, okay.
It's Winkleman.
Nickname was Janet Baby turned into JB.
Correct. So we have some good memories from Martha's Vineyard and even from high school. And she's coming up the week of Christmas and just emailed me yesterday, the day before.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I can't wait for that, too.
Now, you went up to your sister's for the holiday?
I did. And it was just Mom and I and Antonio because my kids were with their dad. And it's hard because
Isn't
I love
dad
having
Scottish?
My kids.
Does he really care about Thanksgiving? I mean, I don't know. I'm just...
I think you're talking about the Brits, but yes, he does. No, yeah, he does. He's a very traditional American family.
I went out with a British guy for 3 years, and he and his brother used to just, you know, like give me all kinds of crap around.
Well, because you're a colonist, you know, to the British.
When I was in England, we had to have, like, we had chicken. We didn't have turkey.
Yeah, but do you want to hear the most ironic thing? Is the Canadians are still part of sort of like the royal crown.
Yeah.
Queen Elizabeth is on the right. They stole our holiday. They do it
October
10th.
Yeah.
So Antonio, who spent 21 years and his kids are Canadian, I always say, you have no right. Anyway, so yes, I went to my sister's.
It.
Mom and I and Antonio went up there. And of course, she has the twins and her husband's mom was there. And it was, you know, it was just sort of there was nothing
quiet,
special.
Yeah.
but it's always fun.
Well, it's nice to just, sometimes it's nice to have a quiet mm-hmm. holiday where you can just relax. Yeah. With, you know.
And the thing is, too, Olivia and Isabella are now, they're twins and they're now 14. And Isabella is.
Oh, what a joyful age.
Well, they have their moments. But she is a cheerleader. They both do this professional or whatever, this organized cheering. But right. Isabella is also like on the high school.
Cheering.
Yes. She's also on the high school. So we went to the big pep rally. And, of course, I was a cheerleader. And my sister was the mascot.
I can totally see you as a cheerleader.
Doesn't that make sense?
Yes.
Well, yes. But let's remember, folks, that being a cheerleader and part of the National Honor Society are not mutually exclusive.
Oh.
Okay. Everybody, for sure. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know. You were a smart cheerleader.
I was a smart cheerleader. I was, as a matter of fact, I didn't really hang with the cheerleaders. I kind of hung out with like the folks who were like the drama club people.
Drama queens?
Not queens. Just
I was in drama in high school too.
Yeah. So it was good. It was fun. Yes, I was definitely a cheerleader and I loved it. Loved it. So it was fun because we went to the pep rally, you know, and all that. And then we made our trip on Friday. We went to Rockport last year and Gloucester this year. And we froze our tuxes off because the wind coming off the water.
Yeah.
But we had a big seafood dinner. And
it's
all good. It was good.
And,
it's really
good. And you had sort of a progressive Thanksgiving week?
I had a week, man. I mean, so a bunch of my girlfriends, they're all cooks. They're all foodies. All really good cooks. And so they have an apartment in the city, these two sisters. And I've grown up with them since I was like 4 years old. We went to elementary school all the way up through together. And so we each brought a couple dishes. So we had like a big potluck. And that was Saturday. And that was a traditional Thanksgiving, but we had chicken because their oven, instead of cooking a massive turkey all day, it was quicker just to do like two smaller chickens and then stuff them.
Right.
So we did that. And then on Thursday, I went to my former roommate's family's house, and they've kind of adopted me.
Right. So you had a Friendsgiving, an adoptive family
Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And wow.
Yeah. And that was very traditional. We had, you know, the turkey, the fixings. Mm. And then there are a couple of them are musicians as well. So we got to jam. And,
did you have your ukulele?
Of course I did.
Which she still needs to bring here.
Yeah. No, it's actually at their house still. I left it on accident. Mm. So I need to bring that.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
And then you had...
And then my dad and I, we made a rabbit stew.
Yeah, because that's Thanksgiving. No, I'm sure it was really good.
Well, what happened was about a month ago, I found a local, completely humanely raised rabbit. There was
just one.
Well, there was the I went to a farmer's market and they were selling a bunch of meat frozen, and so
we're tormenting her.
I know, it's okay. Well, my dad, it's something that we do together a couple times a year, and so I brought it back about a month ago, and we were just waiting for like a cold day.
Come
to
here,
do it.
Little rabbit.
Yeah. Oh, we have huffen pfeffer.
All I can think of is Bugs Bunny, you know?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
So it was fun. It was good.
And
it was a good Thanksgiving.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to talk a little later in your foodie file about cranberries, right?
Yes.
And a couple
no
of cool
rabbit,
recipes.
But.
No rabbit.
No rabbit. No rabbit. But
no wascally rabbit.
No wascally rabbit.
Exactly.
But, you know, we all, because last time we had Zeke in the studio a couple weeks ago, he talked about using honey in the cranberry sauce. So you did that, right?
I did.
And
yes.
Then I made a New York Times. I made my regular kumquat cranberry.
Wait a minute.
I know.
Wait a minute. I need to interject here.
Interject.
So she tells me, I made the one with Zeke suggested with honey. And she was like, yeah, I made a cranberry sauce out of the New York Times. I had a recipe there, but I made it better.
I did.
Yes.
I made it better.
I did. It was actually pretty butt-kicking.
Awesome.
And my regular kumquat. Anyway, yeah. So we'll talk about that
then.
The foodie file.
Yes.
Kind of fun.
Yeah. I got some reading in, too. Because, you know, some long nights, like long evenings.
And I think you and I, it turns out, are reading the same book.
Same book.
Dan
Inferno.
Brown's
Inferno. Inferno by Dan
Inferno.
Brown.
Where you have to say it with an Italian accent.
Firenze, poi Venezia. Yeah. And it's great because I do speak Italian.
Dante Alighieri.
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 Brava. Brava.
Grazie.
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 Sì, grazie.
Okay.
In Greek, it's, we'd say bravo. Not bravo. You said brava. Is that what you just said?
For what? Oh, brava. For,
yeah. Brava.
It's feminine.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
To say, you know, good job.
It's
or
just
good girl.
Bravo.
Just bravo?
Well, you know all these languages are related girls, right? They are.
Well, Greek and Italian. Yeah,
sure
I guess.
Yes and no.
Sure.
Yes and no.
Okay, the word for cat. What is your word for cat?
Gatto.
Gatto.
Same for Greek.
Gato.
See?
Gato. In Spanish, we're not, gata.
We're not cooking any cats.
No, we're not cooking any
cats. Okay, just checking.
No,
so,
but
Dan Brown.
He's everything is geographically and historically and archaeologically.
Okay,
and
without giving anything away, can I just say how absolutely terrifying the statistics are? Because the basic premise of the book has a lot to do with overpopulation and the environmental disaster that this one particular scientist is, you know, focused on.
Correct.
That, you know, that is based on overpopulation
and how we have grown exponentially.
And when you
we
see
are
those
bursting at the seams,
I believe those charts are accurate. That
they are.
Use in
it's
the book.
All accurate. That's why I pointed
and
that
I
out.
And I looked at it. I was like, "What?
Yeah.
Oh, talk about denial! Like you, I can't function with that thought in my head anymore."
Well, when you think about it, you know, two people make two people who make two people or four people,
but
and
there
that's
is such
just
a thing as zero population, right? When you have more than two people, you have, then you've gone over. Zero population is replacement. You and your husband have
two. Oh, I thought that
kids.
Was nuclear
nuclear proliferation.
I thought that
they're
was
making
like
babies.
Yeah.
Those nukes are making babies.
Oh, my word.
Anyway, so we got talking about that because, you know, it brings up the topic of overpopulation, which is one of those topics that nobody wants to talk about. Because what are you going to do?
That is definitely very un-Green Diva-like. It's a topic where we all really do want to put our head in the sand.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing we can do.
And in his defense, Green Dude Scott, our old Green Dude for a couple of years, and my ex-brother-in-law, who I adore, always wanted to talk about it. And I was like, oh, it's just so depressing.
It is.
Yeah. I said, give me solutions. Don't talk about it unless you want to talk solutions because it's
but
so
there are none.
Scary.
Well, I mean, in China, they tried one kid per.
And I think they're
know?
Getting rid of that, by the way.
Yeah,
they
are.
It's done. It's done.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe we should have Green Dude Scott in just to talk about that because Dan Brown
I'm
is on
to
something
I'm
with this.
I'm trying to get him in here.
You know. But, I mean, pretty cool. The years of research, you know, he's got this little house somewhere in North, you know where,
Dan
Dina.
Brown. Dan Brown lives near me.
That's her neighbor.
That's my,
oh, come
yeah.
on.
And also Steve Tyler's on our lake in Lake Sunapee. And Ken Burns, too.
Seriously?
The documentarian.
Yeah.
Like, three of the coolest.
Wow.
Three of the coolest people. They don't all hang out together that I know of, but they're.
You don't know that.
I mean, I don't
Steve
know that.
Steve Tyler goes to your dad's restaurant, your
he
family
does.
Restaurant.
He does.
His name is really Steve Tallarico.
Yes.
And oh, you just outed him, man. No,
but everybody
kidding,
knows that.
Oh, yeah.
And his father, I think, was a science teacher in the Bronx somewhere or something.
And he went to Juilliard, I believe, and taught piano for a while,
his
too.
Father or
his
Steve?
Father.
His father did, yeah.
Yeah.
And you, she sees Liv Tyler too, Steve's
and Mia.
Daughter, and Aww. Mia, and Liv with those beautiful
lips.
Pouty lips.
Yeah,
but can I just say something about Steve Tyler?
Yes, you can.
Okay, so well, I do have to say this. It's a guilty pleasure,
really. I mean,
you
I
know,
like Aerosmith.
I like Aerosmith. You know, I know their
Have
music.
You read his book?
No, is it good?
I haven't read it, but he has an autobiography out. You should read it.
Yeah, I'll read it.
I love rock and roll.
You know, he has been on the wagon for a long time because he realized, I mean, he's a certain age now.
Yeah.
I don't know what that age is.
I mean, he went to elementary school with my great aunt, so that's.
How old is your great aunt? I'm guessing he's like 60 something.
She's in her late 60s.
All right, so I'm thinking that Steve Tyler is right there too.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's necessarily fabulous looking, but he's like a guilty pleasure. For me,
just,
it's like the whole
the music.
Aura
yeah.
of
he has
Steve
beautiful
Tyler.
Kids though. All of his kids are beautiful. His
and,
son, he has like some younger kids too,
and
really?
He's intelligent. Yeah. I think that comes through that he's an intelligent dude.
Yeah,
who has a house in Vermont and drives a red Ferrari.
New Hampshire.
Oh, I'm sorry, in New Hampshire, and eats at the Goldiasis restaurant.
Gildasis.
Yeah, I was screwed.
It's
up.
Okay. No. He's awesome. He always comes in, and I mean, he comes into the Sunapee Pizza Chef, which is my cousin's, and he's been to the Warner Pizza Chef, which is one that my dad owns. So it's interesting.
I'm telling you, it's. The word dishy comes to
so
mind.
So don't you think we should go visit G at home in New Hampshire, meet the parents and
meet
hang
the parents.
Out?
Meet the parents.
Meet the parents, yeah.
Meet the Goldies.
Yeah.
Or
meet the G's. Meet the G's.
Yeah, house full of G's.
Okay, so when are we coming up?
Whenever you guys want. Seriously.
Right. I think there's
wait a minute.
A
do you guys
trip.
Have like snow up there?
Not
like,
now.
Not yet. But can we do those like, just hear those sleigh bells ring-a-ling, ring-ting-ting-a-ling too.
Yeah.
Ching, ching. Sleigh I mean, ride? Ching, do you have sleigh rides?
I could find us a sleigh ride.
You know, I actually did one.
I can totally arrange it.
I actually did one in Austria when I was skiing over there one year. We froze our tuchuses off.
It's the second time she said that in one show.
I know.
I know. Is that the like word of the day?
Tuchus. It's Yiddish. Yeah. It's I learned all my Yiddish from Frank Cipolla's lovely bride, Lauren, who grew up in a Jewish neighborhood in Brooklyn, which
That's
is a good
funny.
Thing because she is Jewish.
Well, yeah.
I guess. And Frank is my best friend.
So okay. Just moving on quickly because we've got to ramp up our opening here and move along.
Yeah,
move
we've
along.
Got quite a lot to talk about.
We've got yes. Rodman Schley, who is our friend from The Urban Conversion.
Yeah.
He's got a great show mm-hmm. on PBS out in Colorado and a website where all his videos are available.
Right. Yes.
And he's doing some fun things. And so he talked to us a bit. So that's our Green Dude segment.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing the foodie file on cranberries.
Yes.
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 And you have a DIY segment on making some ornaments or something?
Yeah, but these are different,
different.
Because it's
They're
a recipe
cooler.
That I got from GDG.
Oh, we talked about this one yesterday and you did it already?
I did it already.
I sent her everything.
Yeah,
she did it.
I did it already.
OMG.
OMG. Yeah. How about that? So, yeah, I'm just waiting for a picture of Green Diva Katie.
My mama.
Who is Green Diva G's mama. She's yeah. Mrs. Green Diva.
Mama G.
G.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, it's her recipe as well there. So we'll do that. And it's, yeah.
And then we're going to talk about, we had our video for gifts for the Green Dude.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago, right?
Yes.
And we did another video on gifts for the Green Diva.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about that. But I just want to say out loud that we're also working on a DIY video of some of our favorite easy
mm-hmm.
Low stress.
That's coming up
DIY,
soon.
And that's
yeah.
gonna. We're gonna do that next week.
Yeah.
And then we're also working on because today is. But people don't know because this is gonna go out in a couple days. But it was Give a Tuesday. You know they have like Cyber Monday, Local Saturday. I don't know what the
yep.
heck all these days are. Black Friday. They had a Give a Tuesday or something. Giveaway Tuesday. What was it? Tuesday, I don't know.
I thought it was Cyber Tuesday again. So this is news
no.
to me too.
Listen, no, it had to do. It was all about giving
oh,
and charity.
Nice. That's so, good.
But we've already decided prior to this popping up today in my inbox that we would be doing a focus on all of our favorite charities.
Yeah, I think yeah. that's a great idea.
And but that's going to take you know a little while for us yeah. to all get our research, you know, whatever, write our thoughts out.
And just you know what, I know we have to wrap, but Ed Brown's movie.
Oh,
is coming up
levels.
Unacceptable Levels is going to premiere here in New Jersey, and the Green Divas are going to spearhead this event.
Yeah, we're going to sort of host
so
it.
So stay
yeah.
tuned, everybody, for those details because we're going to fill the theater, but it's going to be more than just the movie. We're going to do sort of a Q&A. We're going to do a
yeah.
whole thing. Will we have refreshments?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not? I don't know. I don't know what the movie theater lets us do.
I don't know, but it'll be good, right?
Organic popcorn? I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't
totally
know.
Good.
Oh, totally good. Totally
good. What they'll let us do. Anyway, stay tuned because we have lots coming up.
The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
Okay, so we're here to talk some cranberries with Gina, Green Diva
yes.
Gina, our foodie file segment.
Yes. So getting, you know, it's a week after Thanksgiving, and I love cranberry sauce. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, me too.
But I was thinking, you know, cranberries are such a, I love how tart they are. And I'm like, you have to have lots of recipes, or there has to be a lot of recipes besides just like throwing them in something
right.
where they would have more of a, like a kick in their flavor besides being
right.
just like a cranberry
sauce.
So we're
sauce, talking
you know?
Not like a dry cranberry that you throw in a salad. You're taking whole cranberries and you're processing them
whole,
into a salad.
Or doing
into baked goods.
Any
whatever.
Anything along those lines. But I was like, you know what? They're really healthy from what I was told
yes.
originally. And they have a history. So I was like, let's take a look into this fruit and see.
Hence the foodie fog.
Yeah, and see what
yeah.
it's all about. So
yeah.
I found out, I mean, everyone knows that to get rid of a UTI,
oh,
you
yes.
drink cranberry
all
juice.
All the girls should know this.
All the girls should
don't.
Know that.
I've never had one.
I haven't
well, aren't
either.
You a lucky girl.
Isn't
lucky
that weird?
Yeah.
I must eat too many cranberries.
Well, it probably does have to do with your pH and all that
stuff. I think so, because I do eat a lot of that stuff. Yeah.
But there are a lot of other studies, too, that
And by the way, if you're going to drink cranberry juice for that purpose, you drink unsweetened.
Correct.
Which is not easy, but it is healthy.
It hold is your nose. Just hold your nose.
I just put a little stevia in it, but you can't have the sugar.
They say it can prevent tumors from developing.
Wow.
So certain studies have said that. This is an I got some of my information. I read through a bunch of articles from AP today, the Associated Press. Yeah.
Really?
And then there are some companies that are trying to develop different mouthwashes from cranberries.
Really?
Because of the pH. And they prevent plaque buildup in your teeth.
Very cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So I think it's a really, I mean, I don't know how far along they are, but I think it's a great idea, a great concept.
Well, who knew?
Yeah.
Well, you know who knew? The Native Americans.
Apparently.
Well, they knew.
They had a bunch of, I mean, if we go into the history a little bit, they had a bunch of uses for cranberries, but they're most famous for their, they had the first energy bar is what they developed.
Really?
It's called like pemmican, I believe it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Pemmican. I can't pronounce it fully.
I know. Is that the
pemmican? P-E-M-M-I-C-A-N.
Yeah.
But it sounds kind of gross, but they would like mash up cranberries and then dried deer meat and a bunch of other things. And it had a high level of pH and protein, and it prevented bacteria buildup, and they could carry it with them over long journeys.
Because it's dried.
Yeah,
the venison was dried.
Yep.
You know what? I'd eat that.
Me too.
I would, for sure.
I think it's interesting.
Do you know I drink cranberry, unsweetened concentrate cranberry juice every morning?
You do?
Yeah, I mix it with a little bit of water, and I use a little tiny bit of liquid stevia, and I put my psyllium husk in it. It's a little kind of cocktail.
Cocktail.
Another
Green Diva Meg cocktail.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Just, and I know you want to get to your recipe, but
no
we bought a panettone. You know, there's Italian traditional panettone, those Christmas desserts.
They have panettone. Of course.
Well, of course. And they have pandoro. But I happen to like the cheapy ones that you get at the grocery stores. I just like those. I mean, the pandoros are really good, too.
Yeah.
But we bought one that was made with cranberries.
Mm.
Oh, my God.
Better?
You know, it's just cranberries.
So you found some recipes in this wonderful book that happens to be in our Green Diva recommendations for the holiday gift guide for Green Divas.
So this awesome cookbook kind of came to my attention because I heard from Debbie Adler, who's from LA. She owns a very successful bakery in LA called Sweet Debbie's Organic Cupcakes. I believe.
Yep.
And her recipes are all allergy-free, vegan-free, gluten-free, milk-free.
They're not vegan-free, but they're vegan.
I'm sorry, vegan. Sorry.
They're vegan. Okay,
that's
I got
funny.
That.
That's funny.
Vegan-free.
Vegan-free.
They're free
but they're,
for vegans.
Sorry, I was thinking gluten-free, and I kind of
mixed
it.
I know,
But anyways, she has an awesome recipe for Cran Ban Thank You Brand muffins.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And they sound awesome. She uses bananas and cinnamon and coconut nectar, stevia, and then dried cranberries. But look at the picture here. I'll post it online.
She Are you making them?
I was going to.
Yeah.
Okay, good, because I'll be waiting for them next week.
We're waiting.
Yeah, I'll bring them. I'll bring them to the production meeting next week.
I'm kidding.
Gina. Beautiful, and I just totally support somebody who's going into just making things gluten-free, because my brother has celiac. So for me, it's really special to see, like, this is becoming way more mainstream.
And I want to say that Little Debbie sent me a box with dried ice filled. It was a big box filled with goodies. A couple of years ago, before your time, babe.
Whoa,
and
they were unbelievably good.
Yeah.
Was really impressed.
Can I
come
say
back
something
east,
about...
Debbie. Open a bakery here.
Can I say something about celiacs?
Yes.
Celiacs is a true disorder, disease.
Autoimmune, yes.
Absolutely.
Yes,
all this business about gluten-free, I think there's a lot of hype there. And that, yes, you can choose to eat gluten-free for diet and everything, but not everybody has celiacs.
Not everybody needs to.
Exactly.
Some people
have
a sensitivity. A lot of people would benefit because it's an inflammatory food.
Correct.
So people who have, like myself, fibromyalgia or arthritis.
Yeah.
You know, gluten
or
is just
different
not good
like
for,
things like colitis or anything
right.
along
exactly.
those lines.
Exactly.
Too.
But
well,
I mean,
check out your post.
Yeah, check out my post that goes more in depth about wheat being overprocessed. If you want more
yes,
information,
we talked about that
other post. Remember that other post you did about wheat?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. The one we did. Like the over when wheat was overprocessed and why it was healthier for our ancestors to eat.
Yeah, there's no value to wheat.
But anyways, I will post Debbie's recipe for the cranberry muffins and then the history as well as the health benefits that we talked about today.
You go do that. I want to taste the muffins.
Yeah, we'll just taste it all.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, G.
No problem.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. Every Green Diva needs a sidekick. At the Green Divas radio show, they're called Green Dudes. Time now for a deeper shade of green from a guy's perspective.
So thrilled to talk again to our friend Rodman Schley, who's out in Colorado. I think he's in the Denver area. We'll check in a minute. But he's the host and producer of, I believe he's a producer again, he'll correct me if I'm wrong, of a really fun show called The Urban Conversion, which is on PBS out in Colorado. Hey, Rodman.
Hey, how you guys doing?
How did I do? Did I get your information correct?
Everything but my last name.
Schley?
You were really close. It's Schley.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so worried about saying Rodman wrong. I forgot the Schley. And you've probably corrected me in the past. I apologize.
Yeah, I correct everybody. Don't worry about it.
Oh, well, it's a bummer. You think by now it would sink in, but we'll get it right
next time. It'll be perfect. Just you wait.
Yes.
So you're busy producing more episodes of The Urban Conversion. You want to tell everybody what that is?
Yeah, no, we're producing, we just got done shooting 5 more episodes out here of Urban Conversion. Of course, Urban Conversion is about creating sustainable lifestyles in urban areas. And we had a great time. We actually shot out in Detroit, Michigan. There was a group out there, it's urbanfarming.org, that we went and worked with. And they're kind of the original urban farmers where they're going in and teaching people how to grow their own food. And in Detroit, it's really necessary.
Yeah.
More than it is fun. It's a necessity in Detroit. And we did a urban renewal shoot out there also, which was really a neat shoot. It's kind of nice to get our hands dirty and see what's really happening in Detroit and trying to change things around in that city. So incredible people.
Yeah, we did. Well, I was out there with Ford a few months ago, and we did a thing with Habitat for Humanity that was rehabbing a neighborhood, and it was actually really upsetting to drive there because you have to go through these neighborhoods where houses are not only abandoned, but then they're just, you know, they raise whole neighborhoods because the houses are falling down.
It's amazing, isn't it? You know, I'm almost wondering if you guys were out there the same time I was.
I think it was in June. I was in June.
Oh, it was June. I would have been out there in July, but we were doing the same
so
thing.
Close.
We were going in, and they had like a 3-mile radius of these neighborhoods. And I can't remember, there's a road that splits east and west Detroit, but it really, you know, you're working on the east side, and you're working on the west side. And I think there's like 5,000 people who came out that day.
Wow.
Not just that day, for that week. I mean, the spirit of the people in Detroit is absolutely amazing. I was blown away by how much those people really, really care about their city.
Yeah, and they're coming back, and it's a very inspiring episode of our American history here, because it's sad to see the heart, you know, it's the heart of our country there.
Yeah, it is, and there's so much history in Detroit, and, you know, there's just so much sprawl, and unfortunately, when you have a population, I think their population was like 2.5 million at one point, and now they're like 600,000 or 700,000 people, and when that happens, you get a lot of real problems, because like you were talking, they've got so many vacant houses, and then, you know, you've only got so many people in an area, and then retail doesn't want to come in, and then you can't even get grocery stores to come in. So what do you do? Well, a lot of people are just growing their own food.
I saw, and I don't know, you probably talked to this gentleman, I think I saw it on because you haven't aired this episode yet, right?
No, we haven't aired it yet.
Right. There was a gentleman, I think it was on CBS Sunday Morning or something, who was talking about, you know, taking over some of these abandoned lots and growing food, like, you know, sort of guerrilla urban food farming.
Yeah, it's amazing. And it, again, it comes back to the people. I mean, they're just doing it. And most of these gardens, they're opening up to their neighbors, and they're taking the vacant lots, they're planting and saying, hey, if you need food, come get food. If you don't, leave it be. And it was amazing to me to even hear that. You would think that if you opened it up to everybody, people would just take advantage,
right,
and come in and take everything.
Right.
But not the case. I mean, people were very respectful of these food sources, and they were all looking out for their neighbors. It was amazing. It was really cool.
Well, it's very heartening to, you know, to know that people will take care of each other when it comes down to it.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we're shooting away. We're having fun doing it, and we're covering electric cars, and we did a vegetable oil car thing, a whole alternative fuels episode, which was kind of cool. But yeah, we've been shooting away, trying to figure out what makes sense in this whole green world of ours.
Well, there's so many different aspects to it, right?
Unlimited. I mean, it is. It's crazy. I mean, there's so many things out there. We keep getting better, and technology keeps getting better. The problem is, you know, half the time you're shaking your head because you don't know where to go or what to do or how to do it. You know, the good thing is we've got all these different options now, but the bad thing is we got to figure out how to utilize them all correctly in our lives to start reducing the old footprint.
Right, and there's, like, you know, there's so many different, especially when you're living in an urban setting, there's so many different variables. I don't know, sometimes I think being suburban might even be harder. You know, I lived for a long time in a situation where I could not walk into town without getting run over. There were no sidewalks, there were no lights, you know, and it was a couple miles away. So really, you know, you almost had to have a car when you had kids. Now I live in town, and I really, really enjoy that, and I like the lifestyle for a lot of reasons. I love my town, but I love that I can just walk out the door, walk two blocks to the, you know, the post office, and there are, like, all kinds of restaurants and shops, and I love my town.
Yeah, you have a great town. There's always a lot going on, and people are always out.
So, Rodman, tell me what's the most interesting topic you've covered recently?
Well, of course, I can't say enough nice things about Detroit, just about the people in Detroit. But, you know, it was really interesting. We covered, well, a little bit of a fun episode that we did. We just went we did a back-to-school episode at the University of Colorado in Boulder, which was really neat because they sent me back to freshman orientation. And then I got to go and learn about the sustainability practices at the university, which another thing where I was just simply not just amazed at the school itself and what the school was doing, but I was really impressed with the students. I mean, when I was a college kid, and I didn't care much about anything other than, you know, going to the old toga party down the street, and maybe hitting a class or two here and there, but these kids are really getting more and more in tune with environmental issues.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, isn't that great? I mean, I had no clue. I mean, I had no clue about any of that when I was in college.
Well, it sure is encouraging. In fact, you know, Gina here, she has a friend who we talked to a couple of weeks ago who worked on the Big Green Bus. I'm sure you've heard about the Big Green Bus.
I've heard about the Big Green Bus.
From Dartmouth. And,
yeah, he was a mechanic a couple years back, and right now they're building some EV race cars.
Wow.
So, you know, that's the future generation.
Well,
you know?
Gina, it's you. I mean, Gina is just a couple of years out of college, right?
It's true, yeah.
And, you know, she was doing an environmental radio show. That's how we, you know,
we connected
with her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I wasn't that motivated when I was that age. There's no way.
Oh, absolutely not. I think I, you know, for me, it didn't really start, and I think this is common, it didn't really start until I started having kids. And then I'm suddenly like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, what's on that floor, and what am I feeding them? And, you know, wait
cleaners,
a minute.
Cleaners,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. all that stuff. And you have kids, right?
I've got two girls, yeah, and they're
adorable. I've seen pictures, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're great. I'm in love with my whole family. I'll tell you what, they keep me going, that's for sure.
Now, was that true for you? Did that have an impact, having children? Did that either deepen or accelerate your thoughts about this stuff?
You know, it probably happened about the same time. It never really occurred to me. I had not thought about that. But, yeah, I think once I started having the kids and then we had the family, your priorities change, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And you start thinking outside of your own little world and start thinking about other people's little worlds. And I think, you know, just in general, I think overall your priorities and your thought process and you become responsible for somebody other than yourself.
Right.
And, you know, that's big. That's a lot of responsibility.
Well, it's funny because, like, you know, I mean, I don't think I ever thought about whatever cleaners I was using or detergent until I had a kid. Suddenly I was like, well, yeah, I don't know that I want to put that on my kid's skin. I didn't care about mine as much. But then once you start getting into it, you know, suddenly it's like this never-ending education I'm getting now.
Mm-hmm. It's always something new.
Oh, yes. No, it's just in general, just the whole, like I said, it seems like our kids in general, too, are changing. And I know, you know, a lot of the kids, the generation right now that's coming out of college and has been coming out of college, they kind of get that a little bit of a bad rap as far as being that generation of entitlement, and you hear all these different things. And
yeah,
I see a lot different. I see a bunch of kids who do really care and who do really want to make change. I think there's a real social movement with these kids more than there is that the kids coming out of college and just wanting to go get that job or, you know, get corporate America. It's evolving into this, I don't want to call it a social revolution, but it's kind of neat to see these kids and how they are loving and taking, you know, they're embracing these social issues.
I hope it is a social revolution. I love that.
Yeah.
And my daughter, my baby, by the way, she's a junior in college, and she's remarkably serious, you know, about her health, about a lot of things. I mean, it's not that there aren't kids around her that are, you know, having a good time and having toga parties, but but she manages to have a good time and just, you know, I think she's just more mindful. I don't know if that has anything to do with mama. I'd like to take credit for that, but I don't know. I just see that there's more and more kids that are, I guess without being boring serious, they're just,
they're more informed.
I think so.
You know, like they're more informed and they tend to be more thoughtful about like the repercussions of their actions in terms of the environment.
One thing my mother about smoking like years ago, because my mother, she had us when it was, I'm not even going to date myself too much, but back in the day, they didn't say that smoking was bad. Like when she started smoking in the 1930s or 40s.
Oh, it was like sophisticated.
They didn't talk about how deadly it was. She said, if I'd have known then what you all know now, I wouldn't have.
Right.
You know, I don't know if I'm making any sense. But then, of course, there's always the people that really don't care anyway.
Yeah.
they used to have doctors on TV smoking cigarettes and saying, you know, 3 out of 4 doctors recommend whatever.
Marlboro, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
That is crazy when I see those commercials.
So funny.
So I was looking at your site, and you have a bunch of videos there. I watched that one about food, industrial food production. I was like, whoa, this is actually disturbing, but good. Now, I don't think you produced these videos. I was looking through them, and I was like, why? Where's Rodman?
Yeah, some are ours and some are not. We've been working out here quite a bit with Chipotle on a few things because they, you know, they're headquartered here in Denver. And, you know, Chipotle there's been a little bit of social media stuff that have come out kind of against some of the stuff they've put out recently. But these guys, I mean, this group out here at Chipotle are so just committed to food and committed to doing food right. And, you know, it's neat to see groups like that. So we did a little work with them on their Cultivate Festival, shot some video with them, and covered that. And, you know, of course, they've got a couple cool videos out, too.
Yes, they do.
that really kind of drive home all those things that we fight against, you know, when it comes to food production. And
yeah.
I love to see a group like that investing money into information like that so that it can really make change.
It's very powerful. I'm very impressed with Chipotle, you know, no matter what people want to say about them. Nobody's perfect, but they're making,
right.
you know, big strides in changing the standard
yes.
of how we think about food. And if we're going to have fast food, and we probably are, you
yeah.
know, why can't we have food that is more locally produced and without GMOs? Don't they have some commitment to remove GMOs by, I don't know what year, but in a couple of years?
Yeah, they do. And like right now, of course, they're putting everything on. I mean, they're so transparent. I mean, they're putting everything on their menus.
Yeah.
And, you know, to let you know what does have a GMO or what does not. So, and my question to them was, well, you know, why can't you get all that out of there? And they're just, you know, they just can't right now. They can't get it all the way there.
Yeah.
They're working all really hard to get it there.
Yeah, it's kind of scary, actually.
Yeah.
Because,
know,
you know, they're trying. Really and when you realize how hard it is to remove, because, you know, you can't have sugar. You can't have any kind of commercial sugar because that's probably GMO.
Yeah, right.
You know, any kind of corn. And it's funny because I was going through the Chipotle. There's one near here that I, every once in a while, flip out and have a little bowl of beans and rice. And I was like, is that corn non-GMO? And the little guy looked at me like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, when you figure, I didn't even know what the numbers are. I hate to misquote it, but it seems to me that over 75% of our corn is
yeah.
GMO.
I would say that's probably true.
Yeah.
I mean, where in the world, you know... Where in the world can you go to be assured, too, that you're not going to have the GMO, and especially when there's no transparency along big ag?
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm thrilled
know, all that's scary.
That you're doing the work you're doing to help highlight these things and educate folks. And you know, you have some very funny bits in your segments and your shows, too, about how you can live in a city and have chickens and grow things and be more mindful, and I love what you do. I'm hoping that maybe you'll pick up one of our little videos on your website one of these days.
Yeah, I should.
Yeah, well, you didn't know that we're getting busy here in our little studio, so yeah. Next time you're...
I watch. I see you guys on the move.
Next time you're in New York, you have to come to the studio because we'll have a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun. I'd yeah. have a blast doing that for
yes.
sure.
Yes, you would. All right, my friend. Thank you so much for calling. We'll talk to you again soon. And everybody, can you just give us your website so folks can find you?
UrbanConversion.com.
It's that simple, folks. Do it.
Yep.
Bye, Rodman.
Bye.
Rodman
right,
Schley. I said it right.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Want more information on this Green Dude segment and other ideas for low-stress green living? Go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Green Diva Misar.
Yeah, Green Diva Meg. Isn't technology awesome?
Oh, you betcha.
You know, it makes keeping up with the Green Divas radio show easier and easier.
Did you know that we're on iHeartRadio now?
Oh, yeah.
iHeartRadio has a new talk channel, iHeartRadio Talk, and all you have to do is download the app, go to the website, go into the search bar, and search green. And guess what comes up to the top?
Why, the Green Divas radio show!
That way you'll never miss a Green Divas radio show.
Reduce, recycle, reuse, and if you're feeling creative, repurpose. Repurposing is one of Green Diva Mizar's favorite DIY things to do, and it's fun.
Okay, now it's time for a little DIY fun with GD Mizar.
This is the coolest thing. Okay, you know, every holiday season we are sort of bombarded all sorts of do-it-yourself stuff.
Are you kidding? Look at Pinterest. It's like a madhouse of fun DIY porn.
Yeah, and I just saw a report on Pinterest. The guy's like 32 years old and is like in the bazillion buck range already, you know, for a website like that.
Why can't I be smart enough to think of something like that?
Well, it's a wrong generation.
Apparently.
That's what it is. Anyway, that being said, so I'm thinking over the last couple of weeks, what should I do, Christmas Eve that hasn't been done? So yesterday I'm talking to at the production meet for kids.
Non-crafty green diva like me?
For kids and for whomever, but you have a different levels. So Gina says to me, she says, we used to make these ornaments. Like we would use cinnamon and nutmeg and applesauce. And I went,
she brought
what?
That up at the production meeting yesterday and you're already on it?
It's done.
Oh.
It's done.
Oh, my.
I had
She's so inspired.
So well, because I was really intrigued by it.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I didn't have any applesauce.
Okay.
Applesauce.
So what did you use instead?
Apples. I have some apples that were kind of past their prime.
Okay.
I peeled them, boiled them down a little bit, pureed them, and ta-da.
Applesauce.
Applesauce.
Voila.
So you need 3/4 cup of applesauce. You need 4 ounces of cinnamon, and that's a lot of cinnamon, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
And you mash it all together. It's very sticky, so
you
may want to have
cinnamon sticks. You
brown cinnamon. Okay. Okay, and that's your dough, essentially. Ooh. You roll it out, and then you can just get your cookie cutter, your Christmas cookie cutters, because Gina promises us that once we make these and let them dry in an oven for 2.5 hours at 175, 200.
Right, low, yeah.
And I used convection oven. I'm just getting
so
used to how to doing that.
Yeah,
they dehydrate better, right,
they
in
do.
The convection?
They do.
So I did that. And the other thing I didn't do that I did that you didn't suggest I do was to I sprayed the pan lightly.
Good.
With a cooking spray.
Yeah.
Because one pan sticked and one did stuck. Sticked? One pan stuck.
Yeah.
And the others didn't. So I went ahead and did that. And it actually worked out really, really well.
Nice.
But they're fun. And then, Gina.
And they stink nice?
Oh, my gosh. After an hour of these things being in the oven, I went into the kitchen from my back office. And it was like, because.
That rich. How
many the Christmas smell.
It's the Christmas smell. And that's really what I thought about. The nose knows.
The nose knows.
Yeah.
So there's no orange rind or anything.
No.
It's just that simple.
Just cinnamon. Or if you want to add a little bit of nutmeg, you totally can.
And you can do that. Or cloves. Ground cloves.
Mama G's recipe.
My mom used to make them with us when we were little because we did a lot of homemade ornaments. And she's made them with kids at school that she teaches because it's super easy. All the kids can just pour in the ingredients. If their hands get a little sticky, so what? They're just cutting them, and then you just put them right in the oven.
Well, I used a little flour so that I could manipulate
flour.
How did
you make a hole? Did you use a toothpick or something?
I recommend a straw in the recipe.
Well, but I don't have plastic in my house, so I didn't have a straw. I took those bottle pourers that you put on the bottles after you open up the wine? I just used that.
And you did that before you bake, right?
Yeah, you put them on the baking sheet, make the hole in there, and then just let them dry for 2.5 hours. Then I thought, okay, they're lovely. They're beautiful, but some people might find them boring. And I actually got bored using cookie cutters.
So you decorated them.
I did. On one, I put puff paints, my little tree, so it looks like snowballs. And then I took acrylic craft paint, the cheapy ones. You buy them for 50 cents.
Because you're not eating these, right? They smell good, but you're not
eating
them.
No, as a matter of fact, I put a whole bunch out on the stove because then I've got the Cookie Monster upstairs that shows himself, my 21-year-old son. I wrote, non-edible. But you can try if you want.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't suggest it. And then I thought, what if you just put a coating of glue on there and then just sprinkled glitter on there?
Which is what we did. That
you can do anything. Yeah. Nail polish. You can use nail polish.
You don't want to completely cover them because then you'd inhibit the smell.
No, exactly. But if you did a light coating of glue with glitter and whatever. On one of them, I actually left the flour. So that tree looks like it's covered with snow.
Oh, that's cute.
Aww.
And then I made worms. You know what worms are?
No.
Worms is when you take the dough and you make worms.
Yes,
we've always
worms.
Called them worms. And then I just made funky trees. I made an M for Green Diva Mag.
Really?
A G for Green Diva Gina.
Yeah.
An S for Green Diva Sarah. So then I'll decorate them, unless you guys want to do that.
So
but
cute.
Gina said today, 15 years later, she take them out of the box.
And they still smell.
They still
and
smell.
And here's another Yiddish word for you. They're still funstunkene.
But in a good way.
In a good way.
I mean,
it is. It
and
is.
And how we package them, we don't even do anything super special. I mean, just put them maybe in a little baggie or put them in a container.
A plastic,
kind when you're packing up all your Christmas ornaments.
Yeah.
And then you open it up and you still smell it.
Oh, my gosh.
It does get fainter over time, but,
sure.
You'll... you'll always remember that day.
So go to the website because you have a detailed tutorial.
I do.
Yeah. All right.
Kids. With my comments, you know, which can be funny.
Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, thanks, Queen Diva Katie.
Thanks, Mama G.
All right.
For step-by-step instructions on this DIY project and to find out more about the Green Divas radio show and podcasts, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Yeah, well, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Gina and I, when you were not here, did a 10 gifts in 10 minutes.
And here we go again.
Here we go again. But okay. Here we had like 12 in 9 minutes. So, before we do anything, I want to remind everybody that really our philosophy is all about buying less, making more, and shopping local.
Right. It's really a very sustainable mindset. It's really what we're all about.
Now, we're going to have a video, and there's a website, a post that's going to have all the stuff listed. But today, we're focusing on what to buy for the green divas in your world.
Right. Because divas like their presents.
So one of the things we were going to talk about is shoes. And then that's kind of a personal gift, but... You know.
But I give shoes and I've gotten shoes.
Really? I would never do that.
Yeah.
But Patagonia had some special shoes.
Oh my gosh. And they were so kind, Megan, to send us a couple of samples. You got the better clogs?
I got the better clogs, they're called.
Right.
From Patagonia. And they are the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn. They're so incredible.
I'll bet. And I'll bet because Patagonia has that reputation. Now, I have a ton of clogs and I had a ton of stuff and they wanted to send us samples of the newest line.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, oh my gosh, maybe I shouldn't ask because I felt like I was taking advantage. But I really needed a pair of winter boots. So she said, oh, no problem. Susie Whalen sent me a pair of the women's Wintertide high waterproof boots.
I got to say, I have boot envy now.
Oh, my God. They are so amazing.
But planetshoes.com is really great resource because all the shoes they gather are sustainably made, thoughtfully made, fair trade. You know, socially responsible companies like Patagonia.
Yeah.
So check out both these companies and these shoes. Moving on.
Oh, yeah, but we're going to post pictures of these boots
because
they're so phenomenal. And I'm going to talk more about
and
them later.
Cute shoes.
Okay, so Zeke Freeman came in a couple of weeks ago, right? And we talked a lot about Be Raw Honey. And yes. I realize now that I like honey because it's not the processed stuff on the grocery store shelf.
Yes.
And we had done the post already, but then he left us this amazing thing called a wine flight. You can see where mine is at. I always do wine flights, but this is a honey flight. 4 different honeys, and it talks about pairing, what you pair the honey with.
It's a great gift, and it's very nicely put together in a sweet box, which is all recyclable and
beautiful.
A little wooden base.
Beautiful. And so I remember he said one of his favorite things is fresh ricotta with fresh honey. One of these is good to go for that. It's a beautiful gift.
And it's a nice hostess gift or whatever as well.
Oh, I'm going to a party next week.
Right.
Thank you.
See, there you go. Okay.
Yeah.
What's next,
G? All right. God, we're counting down.
About this awesome clock.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. A mandala clock that is made from old vinyl records.
It
very
looks
cool.
Beautiful. And in here, it has so much spunk.
Yeah.
Now.
And they're all individual, handmade, one of a kind, beautifully painted, right?
Yeah. And a great way to upcycle records.
And again, that one's from buygreen.com.
Yeah.
The other ones, you can go to Be Raw. .com.
Oh, yeah. And
of course, Planet Shoes.
Planet Shoes as well.
And go to the Green Divas to get all the
details. Oh, we have all the details there. So the women really made out like bandits because we got 4 different handbags.
Seriously.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love mine.
There's the Sativa Cool Hemp Bag.
Right.
Yes.
I called it the Cool Hemp Bag.
Yeah.
Did you take that?
Yes. I have that one. And that's a really interesting color, you know.
Well, it's just so
neutral.
Yes. It's a deep khaki green olive
something
color.
Something very sophisticated about that bag.
Yeah. Even though it's a casual bag.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's classy.
That one's $45 at buygreen.com. And they had some other styles. And you got the used.
Oh, my gosh. I loved this thing. USED purse. It's made from upcycled seat belts, car seat belts. I wish I could remember what the USED stood for, but we do have it there. Like, used stuff that we reuse.
It does
something.
Stand for something.
It does, but yeah. It's great.
And again, buygreen.com, that one was $52, but it's a very cool.
Oh my God,
bag.
It's like a clutch. I love it. Love
all
it.
Of these are very cool. And then there is the, oh, Green Diva Meg's favorite bag, but that didn't come from buygreen.com.
Well,
however,
that's okay.
That's okay.
Okay.
It's just in the middle of our, it's called Underground Chic.
Well, but chic and diva go so well together.
Yes. And the bag is made from recycled plastic bottles.
And the color is?
Dun, 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 dun.
Purple! Because we all know that Green Diva Meg and her signature color is purple.
But it's such a great bag.
It
I'm
is.
So happy.
And then Green Diva Sarah got an English, I have English,
English
retread wallet envy.
Yeah.
Used cool. out of this used old cool. car tires, and it's beautiful. This is buygreen.com as well.
Yeah, you wouldn't even know. It looks
oh
like
my
it's going to be leather or something, but
exactly.
It's recycled.
Lined in green
it's
fabric.
Lined, yeah.
Oh, it has room for credit cards, your dollar bills, your change,
all
your
diva
license.
Things.
Oh my gosh.
Anything a diva could want.
What a great gift. I do have that envy.
Yeah. What about my tank top?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the
we
tank
skipped
top.
Right over the tank
yeah.
top. Made from pine.
Very soft. It's a beautiful green color for, you know, the Grey Divas.
Right.
But it's a great tank from buygreen.com.
Made with pine fiber, right?
Yes. And it's perfect if you're just, you know, for me, I've worn it to yoga. I've worn it to bed. It's a great layering piece. You can really do
and
a lot
you know
with that.
That Doug apologized because we were waiting for the little boy shorts.
Yes.
But apparently it's a very popular item because it's sold out.
Yeah.
No. And I can see why, because it's so soft.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's so nice. And you would look
so good
in it. And
that's a company called G equals 9.8, which I believe is Gravity.
Yes.
Tank top. And that mm-hmm. That one you had was really on sale, $29.40. It was originally mm-hmm. priced, you know, like a lot more.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. And yes. then they have the climbing rope bracelet made from old climbing ropes, right?
Right, right.
From Green Guru. Those are $3. They're adorable.
They're
at
nice.
Buygreen.
They're really
Duck.
Cool.
Perfect
yeah.
little stocking stuffers.
Yeah,
then we
exactly.
had a couple of books that we thought might be really good.
Well, Gina Green. Mentioned one earlier. Yep.
Yes, Debbie Adler's book, Sweet Debbie's Organic Treats. That's definitely on this list for sure. Great. Great gift for anyone who likes to cook, really, you know?
I think mm-hmm. we should just leave it in her hands and let her keep cooking treats for us.
As long as you bring them in.
Yeah, as long as you bring them in.
We need to be the guinea pigs.
Yes.
And okay. then I love this book, One Woman Farm, My Life Shared with Sheep, Pigs, Chickens, Goats, and a Fine Fiddle.
I know, that's so
Isn't
cool.
That great?
I think great. That's really
By
cool.
By Jenna Wogenrich?
Yeah, you I think that's how we pronounce right? it. And then another one that you really like, too, is the Moosewood Restaurant. They have
oh.
several cookbooks,
Yeah,
right?
this is a collective. This is like their, you know.
Moosewood is like, it's top notch.
Yeah.
When
I've
are
been
we
using
going?
My Moosewood cookbook
when
for
When are
like
we going
years.
To Moosewood Inn?
We're going.
Let's, another road trip?
Oh, come on.
Can
you know,
we?
I'm all about road
I've,
trips.
So Kate Kennedy, who is here talking about what was going on out west,
yeah.
Moosewood is one of her favorite things.
Yeah.
I just
yeah.
so want to go. So this one is titled 250 Most Requested Naturally Delicious Recipes from One of America's Best Loved Restaurants by the Moosewood Collective. Where is the Moosewood restaurant, by
In
the
Vermont?
Way?
I don't know. Where the heck is
I
it?
I think it's Vermont.
Oh, yeah, it's
I'm,
up that
I'm
way.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's
I
up
know
that
it's
way.
Up north.
Okay.
Well, now,
we'll figure it out and plan it.
Go to thegreendivas.com to see the post with all the details of all these things we've mentioned, but you're going to want to watch the video. Because
it's a wacky video.
It's a fun mm-hmm. video
yeah.
of where we show off all of these things, and you can see them live and in person playing on the video.
Okay.
Anyway, stay tuned. We've got a lot of great things coming up in the next couple of weeks, so I'm hoping you'll check the website, like us on Facebook, and just stay
Twitter
with us.
Twitter and all those good places.
All
so
that fun.
Oh, and don't forget iHeartRadio, Swell,
oh, yeah.
and Switcher Radios for our podcasts.
Holy moly.
We can't forget
everywhere.
That. I know.
All right, kids. Have a great green week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, follow them on Facebook and Twitter, and don't forget to visit the blog at thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. And remember to share the good green news with friends and family.